Thank you very much for waiting. We'd now like to start the meeting for fiscal year 2017 earnings report and explanation on our corporate-wide business transformation plan, the Toshiba Next Plan. Allow me to introduce today's speakers: Nobuaki Kurumatani, Representative Executive Officer, Chairman and CEO; Satoshi Tsunakawa, Representative Executive Officer, President and COO; Representative Executive Officer, the Corporate Executive Vice President and CFO, Masayoshi Hirata. I am Ishiyama from Corporate IR Department. I'll be serving as a moderator today. Nice to see you all. As to how we proceed today, first, Tsunakawa will give you an overview of the fiscal 2017 business results, which is followed by a detailed explanation by Hirata. After that, Kurumatani will explain policies in compiling Toshiba Next Plan. Now, please refer to the materials at hand, which is quite thick. First is Tanshin, the earnings summary, and please find press releases and PowerPoint presentations for fiscal year 2017 business results and Toshiba Next Plan. Now, Tsunakawa will start his presentation. I am Tsunakawa. I'd like to give you an overview of the fiscal year 2017 business results. Please refer to the PowerPoint presentation material. On this screen, you see page four. During fiscal year 2017, as shown here, we have implemented various measures to recover from insolvency, as shown on the screen. The measures that had largest financial impacts include 600 billion yen capital increase by third-party allotment, transfer of Westinghouse-related credit assets, sale of shares of Landis+Gyr and Gear Group at the time of IPO, and transfer of visual products business. The memory business is now classified as a discontinued operation in the consolidated income statement in accordance with U.S. accounting standards. Page five, the details of the business results will be explained by Hirata, our CFO, but allow me to give you some figures. Net sales was 3,947.6 billion, a decrease over the previous term. Operating income was 64.1 billion, also a decrease from the previous year. However, due to the effects of the measures that I have explained earlier, income before tax increased to 82.4 billion yen. Net income also rose to 804 billion yen. Page six. As a result, equity attributable to shareholders turned positive to 783.1 billion. Net assets also turned positive to reach 1,010.7 billion yen. Net interest-bearing debt has gone down to less than 200 billion, with net D/E ratio of 24%. We have caused serious anxiety among our stakeholders, but we have now been able to recover from the critical financial condition. Although we are no longer insolvent, both at parent company and on consolidated basis, the amount available for distribution, calculated by the parent company financial statement, is -757.8 billion yen, in which case the payment of dividend is barred by the company law. So with profound regret, we resolved our surplus appropriation as of the reference date of end of March 2018 to be 0 yen dividend payment at the board of director meeting. We hereby extend our sincerest apologies to all related parties, including our shareholders and investors, for the tremendous inconveniences and concerns we are causing. As COO of the company, I am truly committed to implementing various measures that Kurumatani will explain later to lead the company with him to gain profit-generating capability for fiscal year 2018 and onward. I sincerely ask for your continued understanding and support in this regard. With this, I end my explanation and have our CFO explain the details of the fiscal year 2017 results.
So our CFO, Mr. Hirakawa, would give you more of the details of the results. So my name is Hirata, in charge of the financial affairs. I am the CFO of the company. So we'd like to share with you the details of the results as well as the guidance for the full year. So please turn to page 7. So I would like to share the major key points for FY 2017 before we go into details. FY 2017 was a year of recovery from a critical financial condition seen at the end of FY 2016, and a level of normality was restored. A shareholders' equity increased year-on-year by 1.336 trillion yen. And the shareholders' equity ratio was 17.6% as of FY ended March 2018. Measures were taken to improve shareholders' equity. First of all, sales of assets and businesses were conducted, such as WEC-related credits, Landis & Gear shares, and visual products business. As a result, 340 billion yen of improvement was achieved. Secondly, the cost for processing business issues caused a negative impact on shareholders' equity. More specifically, we implemented pension buyout of European subsidiary, impairment of fixed assets, and structural reforms. Consequently, the shareholders' equity decreased by 130 billion yen. Thirdly, as Mr. Tsunakawa mentioned, capital increase by third-party allotment was conducted. This resulted in increase of shareholders' equity by 600 billion yen. Lastly, improvement in business income, primarily from the memory business. The overall income increased by 530 billion yen, within which around 470 billion yen came from memory business. In the end, shareholders' equity rose by 1.336 trillion yen in 12 months, thereby ending the company's state of insolvency from the end of previous year. Next, I would explain the situation with net interest-bearing debt. Net DE ratio was 24% for FY ended March 2018. In other words, net interest-bearing debt fell by 490 billion yen in the past 12 months. First of all, the payment of WEC parent company guarantee posed a negative impact of 650 billion yen. Despite this negative impact, improvements were made first by sales of assets and businesses worth 420 billion yen, then by capital increase by third-party allotment worth 600 billion yen, and by cash flows-related initiatives worth 120 billion yen. In the end, net interest-bearing debt decreased by 490 billion yen. The company was able to resolve the critical situation in the past 12 months. However, continuous efforts are necessary to further strengthen its financial situation. Please turn to page 8. This slide explains the net sales, income, and cash flows. Net sales fell in the energy systems and solutions due to the deconsolidation of Landis & Gear through IPO. But the net sales increased for storage and electronic devices solutions. In the end, the consolidated net sales decreased by 2.4% or 96 billion yen. The yen depreciation impact was positive of 53 billion yen. Therefore, the net decrease was 150 billion yen, caused mostly from the deconsolidation of Landis & Gear. Income before income taxes of continuing operations were 82.4 billion yen in black due to operating income of 64.1 billion yen and non-operating income of 18.3 billion yen caused by gains from Landis & Gear IPO worth positive 66.8 billion yen and loss from transfer of subsidiary in Brazil worth minus 32.4 billion yen. Also, the net income from continuing operations stood at a positive of 144.3 billion yen due to tax deduction by 61.9 billion yen caused by tax decrease from a transfer of the visual product business and a partial recognition of deferred tax assets, with the change in the reference of substantial doubts about not being able to continue as a going concern. Net income from discontinued operations was a positive of 696.1 billion yen due to memory business achieving ROS of 40%, gains from sales of WEC-related credits, and tax deduction as WEC-related credits and shares were treated as a tax loss. All in all, consolidated net income was a positive of 804 billion yen. Moving on to cash flows. Free cash flows recorded was negative of 109.3 billion yen. Cash flows from operating activities were positive of 41.6 billion yen due to large improvement in net income, despite the payment of WEC parent company guarantees. Cash flows from investing activities were negative of 150.9 billion yen, while the sales of Landis & Gyr shares generated income. Investments were made in the memory business. Please turn to page 9. This is the year-on-year analysis on operating income. I would explain the situation before the reclassification of memory business as a discontinued operation. As we have seen in page 5, the previous year's operating income after the reclassification as a discontinued business was 82 billion yen. However, operating income before the reclassification, including memory business, was 270 billion yen. Now, for FY 2017, increase in selling price, such as NAND flash memory, pose a positive impact of 110 billion yen. NAND cost reduction from migration to 3D and configuration differences added 170 billion yen. And the currency and fixed costs were favorable. Despite the easing of emergency measures, operating income rose by 260 billion yen to 530 billion yen. So we have, if you were to deduct the 460 billion yen, the operating income of discontinued memory business, operating income after reclassification would be 64.1 billion yen. Please turn to page 10. This is the breakdown of main structural reform costs worth 60 billion yen, which were factored in our guidance. Operating income was negative of 15 billion yen. Non-operating income was negative of 37.1 billion yen. And the total was negative of 52.1 billion yen. Operating income included costs related to early retirement programs in Japan and impairment of fixed assets in storage and electronic devices solutions. Non-operating income included loss from transfer of subsidiary in Brazil and costs arising from disposal of surplus production assets from factory operations in Japan. Please look at page 11. This shows the breakdown of profit and loss of discontinued operations. The left bar denotes pre-tax income from discontinued operations worth 721.9 billion yen, within which memory accounted for 465.7 billion yen and WEC 256.2 billion yen. WEC-related amount included gains from transfer of claims worth 240 billion yen. Moving on to tax expenses of discontinued operations. The tax expense was 223.1 billion yen, corresponding to the pre-tax income of 721.9 billion yen. In addition, tax related to valuation of non-qualified split of memory business was 248.5 billion yen. Tax expenses were deducted by 445.8 billion yen since WEC-related claims and shares were treated as a tax loss. Therefore, tax expense for discontinued operation was 25.8 billion yen. In the end, net income from discontinued operations were positive of 696.1 billion yen. Please look at page 12 for the breakdown of non-operating income and expenses. FY 2017 posted net financial loss, yet there were gains from sales of Landis & Gyr IPO worth 67 billion yen. Large provisions were settlement costs of lawsuits from the previous year. Therefore, non-operating income increased by 55 billion yen to 18.3 billion yen. Page 13 explains the cash flow situation. Despite the payment of WEC parent company guarantee, memory business was favorable, and gains from sale of WEC-related claims added net income. Therefore, cash flows from operating activities was 41.6 billion yen. Cash flows from investing activities was negative of 150 billion yen due to cash inflows from the sales of Landis & Gyr shares and Toshiba General Hospital. If the impact from divesting assets were removed, 330 billion yen was spent, and investment had been made continuously, primarily on memory business. Free cash flow was in the end negative of 109.3 billion yen. Now, assuming the sales of WEC-related claims and parent company guarantee were removed from cash flows from operating activities, and cash inflows from the sales of Landis & Gyr shares and Toshiba General Hospital were deducted from cash flows from investing activities, the actual free cash flows would have been positive of 120 billion yen. Please turn to page 14. I will now explain the change in the equity attributable to shareholders of the company against the previous forecast. Equity as of end of 2017 was forecasted to be 460 billion yen. Tax reduction relating to the treatment of WEC shares as a loss after the approval of WEC rehabilitation plan in March amounted to 190 billion yen. Also, income before tax improved by 62.4 billion yen. Discontinued operations, mainly comprising of memory business, improved by 30 billion yen. Accumulated other comprehensive income, which factored in risks, improved by 40 billion yen. As a result, equity attributable to shareholders of the company rose by 320 billion yen to 783.1 billion yen against the previous forecast. Please look at page 15. Here, I would share the change in net interest-bearing debt from the previous forecast. The last forecast of net interest-bearing debt was 600 billion yen for the end of FY 2017. Working capital improved by 320 billion yen due to better payment collection and advance received, and credit improvement due to removal of reference of doubts on continuing as a going concern in the third quarter of FY 2017. Income before tax improved, and the gains from sales of Toshiba General Hospital also contributed. In conclusion, net interest-bearing debt fell by 400 billion yen to 109.6 billion yen.
Page 16 shows balance sheets. As an assumption, the memory business is reclassified into the assets and liabilities of discontinued operations. On the asset side, we continue to invest in memory business, and tangible fixed asset increased, and due mainly to the higher assets of discontinued operations, reflecting higher property, plant and equipment, and others. The total assets increased by 190 billion yen from the beginning of fiscal 17. Liabilities. The interest-bearing debt was down due to the payment of the borrowing and early payment of the parent company guarantee pushed down the others. Total liabilities decreased 1 trillion 100 billion yen from the beginning of fiscal 2017. On page 33 of the appendix, we are showing the balance sheet information of the memory business. And this is for your reference. Page 17 and onwards explains by segment information. Page 18 is after the reclassification of the memory business as discontinued operations. Page 19 is before the reclassification. It shows the company-wide status by segment. The results breakdown by segment will be shown on 20 and onwards. In order to make it easy to understand, we will explain based on before the classification. On page 20, we are showing you the results breakdown of energy systems and solutions. Net sales increased mainly because of the overseas construction projects in thermal and hydropower system. However, the Landis & Gyr was deconsolidated through the IPO in July last year, so including that, net sales declined year on year. Despite the provision of the additional cost in thermal and hydro and the consolidation of the Landis & Gyr, as there was an impairment loss of new gem in nuclear power last fiscal year, the operating income and loss number improved year on year. For both fiscal 17 and 16, we had an operating loss under others. And those include the hydrogen-related development costs. In this table, we are showing you the energy systems and solutions free cash flow. Due mainly to the parent company guarantee payment, fiscal year 17 free cash flow was minus 420 billion yen. Page 21 shows the energy systems solutions, a trend of order backlog. Although there were major orders for thermal and hydro in fiscal 17, order backlog decreased by the progress of ongoing projects. Overall backlog declined 9% year on year. Page 22 shows the major businesses of infrastructure systems and solutions. In public infrastructure, sales declined due to the low season. In building and facilities, sales declined due to the shrinking conventional light source business, including fluorescent light. Also, with easing of the emergency measures, profit declined. In industrial systems, sales and profit grew with increased sale or scale of industrial components business. On page 23 shows the storage and electronic devices solutions. As I mentioned earlier, this includes the memory business. Each business is profitable, especially about the memory. The sales price of memory was stable, reflecting the robust demand for smartphones and SSDs, and ROS of 40% was booked. As for the hard disk drive, although large capacity nearline enterprise drives grew, overall sales and profit declined due to the shrinking PC market. Now, devices and others. Discretes for industry, so higher sales and profit. However, System LSI's profit declined. Overall sales increased. Profit declined. Page 24 is quarterly performance of Storage and Electronic Devices Solution, including memory business. In Q4, we generated profit steadily, driven by the memory. Page 25 shows the status of Retail and Printing Solutions and Industrial ICT Solutions. The Retail and Printing Solutions business is booking steady profits. Industrial ICT Solutions profit declined as emergency measures were eased. Profit decline was booked year on year. Page 26 shows others. The PC and visual products are in red. With the completion of antitrust approval procedure, the visual products business was transferred to Hisense in fiscal year 2017. As for the PC business, we continue to work to turn this around, and we will make a decision as concerning the positioning of this business as soon as possible. That concludes the overview of business results by segment in fiscal 17. Now let me talk about the fiscal 18 forecast. Please turn to page 28. The forecast is based on the assumption that the memory business sale will be completed within fiscal year 2018. The memory business Q1 results and the profit from the sale of the memory business. These are included in the net income from discontinued operations. And after the sale of the memory business, equity in earnings after the sale of the memory business is included in the pre-tax income as a non-operating item. Therefore, depending on the timing of the sales of the memory business, those numbers could fluctuate. As I mentioned earlier, both for fiscal 17 and 18, memory sales and operating income are included in the income from discontinued operations, not in each line of the other sales and profit items. Fiscal 2018 exchange rate assumption is 100 yen to the dollar. The yellow part in this table represent our fiscal 18 forecast. Net sales forecast is 3,600 billion yen, down 350 billion yen year on year. Based on our analysis, the negative impact of the Forex is about 150 billion yen. And the deconsolidation of the Landis and Gear and the visual products is about minus 110 billion yen. Actual sales decline is about 90 billion yen. Operating income forecast is about 70 billion yen. Income before income tax is about 90 billion yen. Pre-tax number includes the equity in earnings after the sale of the memory business, that is 50 billion yen. Net income forecast is 1,070 billion yen. And this includes the profit from the sale of the memory business, 970 billion yen, and the income from the discontinued operation before the sales, that is 80 billion yen. As for the sales and operating income by segment, I would explain them later. The free cash flow, including the revenue from the sale of the memory business, that is 1,450 billion yen, is 1,290 billion yen. As for the financial indices, the equity attributable to the shareholders of the company is expected to be 1,870 billion yen at the end of fiscal year 2018 after the sale of memory business. Net interest-bearing debt forecast is minus 1,100 billion yen. Page 29 shows the operating income comparison between fiscal 17 and 18. Operating income in FY 17, as I mentioned earlier, is 64.1 billion yen. This includes one-off items such as structural reform expenses, pension buyout of the European subsidiary, provision for unprofitable projects, and emergency measures. FY 17 operating income was about 100 billion yen based on our analysis. ROS was a little lower than 3%. As for fiscal 18, Forex assumption is 100 yen to the dollar. The FX loss is about 20 billion yen. And mainly in the storage and electronic devices, lower sales price pushes down the profit by about 15 billion yen, including the impact of the deconsolidation of the Landis & Gyr and visual products, and also turning around the PC business and others. Excluding the one-off expenses, operating income forecast is about 83 billion yen for fiscal 2018. And operating income forecast is about 70 billion yen for fiscal 18. The exchange rate currently is about 109 yen to the dollar. So if this continues to be the case, operating income excluding the special factors is expected to be about 100 billion yen, about the same as fiscal 2017. And this forecast does not include the effect of the Toshiba Next Plan, which will be explained by Mr. Kurumatani. Now please turn to page 30. It shows the fiscal 18 forecast by segment. This is after the reclassification of the memory business as a discontinued operation from fiscal 17 and 18. The yellow portion in the middle is the forecast. Net sales forecast is 3 trillion 600 billion yen, down 350 billion yen year on year. Forex loss is about 150 billion yen based on our analysis. In addition, in the energy system and solutions, the Landis & Gyr was deconsolidated through IPO, and in thermal and hydro, the lower sales is expected in transmission and distribution. And also in the storage and electronic devices, the sales are likely to decline, especially for the hard disk drives. And in the segment of others, lower sales is expected due to the deconsolidation of the visual products. Operating income forecast, as I mentioned on the previous page, is about 70 billion yen, about the same as fiscal 2017. As for the breakdown of the fiscal year 18 forecast, we have a reference information on page 38 and onwards of the appendix. With that, I'd like to end my presentation. Thank you for your attention.
That's all for the 2017 business result. Now, Kurumatani will explain the policies for compiling Toshiba Next Plan. I am Kurumatani. Thank you very much for being supportive for us. I have been serving as the representative executive officer, chairman, and CEO from April. The 45 days have elapsed since I assumed the office. Today, I will explain the actions I have taken to date since assuming this office and our policies for compiling the Toshiba Next Plan, which is a plan for transforming the company over the next 5 years. So this is the naming given by the young employees. So I'd like to explain to you what it is. We plan to complete this plan by the end of this year and make an announcement with concrete numerical targets. Forty-5 days have passed since I took office, as I said. Before I assumed the office, I met with all the executive officers and department managers, as I explained at the prior meeting. and after taking office, held dialogue meetings with young employees and gave instructions to executives, through which I shared my thoughts about company transformation directly with about 600 employees. Through such dialogue, I saw in each employee clenching their teeth to overcome this serious crisis. The figures behind this serious crisis has been already explained. A strong sense of determination towards revitalization and a sense of pride for Toshiba as a company, its technology, and the work that they are responsible for. I met with many of our customers. They are very much impressed with technology and products, and they have given us very passionate words reflecting their strong confidence in our technology and the products. When I saw that, I felt a conviction that this company can be revived, that the Toshiba brand will once again regain its glory. I have received many passionate messages from young employees saying that they want to be part of the company transformation. And we are thinking of coming up with a program that would engage young employees. On April 7th, I visited the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant together with President Tsunakawa and gave encouragement to our colleagues working hard toward the decommissioning in a very difficult environment since 3/11 accident. This is this is in the vicinity of the pool in which the fuel rod is located. As for our group management policy, we will continue to focus on providing contribution to the society. If we are not trusted, then we are no longer able to survive. So as for the group management policy, we will continue to focus on business domains that sustain modern life and society. To be more specific, we will focus on the four business areas of social infrastructure, energy, electronic devices, and digital solutions. We will contribute to a sustainable future by creating new value through reliable technologies. Moving on to page 4. During fiscal 2017, as was explained, we were able to shut out the risks from overseas nuclear power projects, and we were able to lift the designation of securities on alert on the stock exchanges. So we were able to eliminate the very serious risks and enhance capital through new share issuances. We caused a great deal of concern and inconvenience to our stockholders, but with these measures, we were able to come out of negative net worth by end of March 2018 and thus avoid a crisis situation. I think that we are finally able to stand at the starting line. In fiscal 2018, under a new structure, we will secure profitability in par with global leading companies, and we will position 2018 as a first year of transformation to become an excellent company that can survive in competition. We will start to strengthen our basic earning power and make decisions about company-wide structural reforms and focus on promoting engines for growth. Based on that, in fiscal 2019 onwards, we would like to make a company-wide effort, which will be portrayed in the next plan, to steadily implement the new measures to realize fundamental improvements in profitability. Page 5. On the day of my appointment on the 2nd of April, I gathered about 70 executives and kicked off the company-wide reform project. After strengthening basic profitability through review of operations and formulating reform plans for businesses, we'd like to announce by the end of the year the Toshiba Next Plan,
a business plan for the next 5 years together with numerical targets. The starting point of these efforts is to strengthen basic profitability. Analysis of the business structure has revealed that there is a problem in the cost of sales ratio compared to global competition. We will focus on procurement and selling price, and by comprehensively reviewing the entire value chain, including procurement, design, manufacturing, and sales, we will strengthen basic profitability. This review will be comprehensive in nature. Concurrently, for each of our 22 businesses, we will benchmark with globally recognized peers, and we will consider how we are able to remove all constraints and draw up a game plan to attain those levels. By the end of June, we will decide the direction and numerical goals for each business. After combining the results of these studies to create the foundation of what we need to be in 5 years' time, we will take the strengths of our existing technologies and products, combine them with AI, IoT, and other digital technologies, and shift toward providing service solutions that maximize customer value. We thereby plan to shift to a recurring revenue business model with cyclicity and continuity. Moving on to page 6, we have started to study various measures to strengthen our core earning power. I believe that we need to build a strong management infrastructure, and we will enhance visibility of each business by introducing KPIs. It is necessary to share the same data on the ground and the head office and contribute wisdom from both sides to solve each issue. As for the internal audit function, we will continue to check accounting compliance and build a broader checking function, including control over expenses and business processes. We will also establish a CEO office within the corporate planning division to build an organization to lead the change. And we will ensure that these efforts are timely transmitted both within and outside the company. In addition, we will also introduce the next project for the young employees, where young people in their 30s will consolidate views on the ground concerning transformation. We will also work on improving operations. This is a very important theme. We will review the entire value chain from procurement, design, manufacturing, and sales in order to reduce the cost of sales ratio. With regard to the project review function, in addition to checking the validity of accounting processes, we will expand the process to improve the profitability of new projects. We will also closely monitor the unit-level cash conversions by customer, product, and project to pursue the working capital improvement project. In terms of sales activities, we will aim for a system that enables us to make integrated proposals of our technologies and solutions and can contribute to the improvement of customers' business value. Finally, in order to convert to a more muscular and lean structure, we will focus on structural transformation in the energy business and other areas,
and review on a company-wide basis without setting sanctuaries, including indirect functions such as staff and the number of group companies, which now is quite large. So we are committed to running the company-wide review. Page 7. Let me expand on how we are aiming to encourage drastic change in our formulation of plans for each business. First, we will give the general manager, who is most familiar with each business, full authority to formulate the plan and ask them to consider freely without any constraints. So we have to ask them to start thinking on a zero basis. When considering, in order to avoid overly conservative plans, we will make use of objective perspectives and knowledge of global leading advisors and set targets through benchmarking with global excellent companies for our game plan. Objective data will be used so that the general managers would be able to come up with the game plans. The game plan that have been considered will be explained directly to me by the general managers. So I listen to their voices starting the second half of May, and we will be able to have a discussion. By having an outsider like myself directly sounding the plan, I think that it will be possible to be liberalized from past practices and interests and consider new ideas freely. I'm pinning high hopes on that. Also, when setting goals, I will emphasize not sales, but the ability to create cash, such as FCF and ROIC, R-O-I-C. Then, after thoroughly analyzing what is causing the difference between us and the competition, we will develop measures to fill the gap and put it into the action and put that into the plan. In implementing, we will monitor the progress of each measure through KPIs, and we will allow everyone to see what has been achieved and what has not, what additional measures are needed. So we are able to come up with a system in which we are able to share this kind of information. In growth areas, we will consider aggressive investment, including M&A, as one option for growth. While for business with low profitability or otherwise facing difficulties, we will implement drastic structural improvements to strengthen their earning power. In conducting M&A, we will conduct them cautiously after fully analyzing the likelihood of synergy effect realization and the risks involved.
Please move on to page 8. Now, for the future state to be, I have been sharing with you the transformation to recurring business model using digital technology. So more specifically, we will collect the operating data of elevators, railways, and public infrastructure. And by doing so, that would enable us to conduct failure prediction, product life diagnosis. And in the end, that would optimize the maintenance cycles and also the inventory level of the maintenance parts. We can advance the level of service, thereby enhancing the enterprise value of our clients. That is the kind of model we're pursuing. So in order to promote this effort, as of 1st of April, we have installed the Chief Digital Officer, CDO, who would drive this digital transformation on a company-wide growth strategy. And as a corporate promotion division, we have established the Digital Transformation Strategy Acceleration Division. Also, as of 2nd of April, we have established a new company, Toshiba Digital and Consulting Corporation, which would provide all the way from consulting to value creation in digital business. So together with the business units of infrastructure and energy, we would like to leverage on the strengths of existing business products and technology and provide the service and solution that will contribute to the enhancement of customers' enterprise value. Please move on to page 9. So this shows the compensation system for the executive officers. So this has been pointed out by many investors. So we are taking the view of the mid- to long-term enhancement of enterprise value. Therefore, we would like to revisit the system to incorporate shares within the compensation structure. Of course, this will give them the incentives to execute the management transformation. And we would like to incorporate strongly the stakeholders' view, such as shareholders and investors. So as we have disclosed today, starting in July of this year, a restricted share compensation scheme will be introduced for executive officers. Also, Toshiba Next Plan will be disclosed this year. So this transformation plan and the business plan would also be linked to the compensation scheme. More specifically, the single-year results, as well as the achievement of the medium-term management plan, will be linked to the incentives. And also for the incentives compensation, shares will be incorporated. Now for this incentives compensation system, we would like to continue engaging in discussions with the outside directors within the compensation committees. So from the point of view of enterprise value, the fact that it would directly impact the compensation would give the executives strong initiatives to execute the transformation. Now, moving on to page 10, the sales of the memory business. So, of course, it is still under review right now, but we are maintaining the policy to divest this business. So we are still waiting for the approval from the Chinese antitrust authority. So no change in the situation. Now, the objective for the sales of memory business is to enable flexible and speedy management decision-making and also expand scope of investment resources and also recovering of the financial base. These were the objectives for the sales of the memory business. So no change in our aim. So after the approval has been granted from the Chinese authority, we would like to proceed with the proceedings to divest the business in a speedy manner as possible. Finally, in page 11, this relates to shareholders' return. After the completion of the sales of memory chip business, as I have shared with you already, our financial base will be significantly improved. So we would like to conduct shareholders' return as appropriately as possible. Now, from the viewpoint of maximizing the enterprise value, we will develop the Toshiba Next Plan. So in the process of doing so, we need to understand where exactly are the seeds for growth and where are we going to allocate the funds. Also, how are we going to fund for the structural conversion? And also, how are we going to secure the financial soundness and credit rating? So these are all the items we need to evaluate. In addition, we would need to consider shareholders' return policy, including share buybacks. So after the memory business has been divested, we would like to evaluate appropriate resource allocation. Now, for the magnitude and also timing for the shareholders' return, we would need to evaluate in combination with measures to maximize the enterprise value. So we would like to evaluate in conjunction with the Toshiba Next Plan. Once we know the details, we would like to disclose the information as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes the presentations. We'd like to entertain questions. If you have any questions, please raise your hand and please wait for the microphone. And give us your name and affiliation before asking questions. Murai from Shukan Diamond, Weekly Diamond. Thank you very much. I have a question to Mr. Kurumatani. Sale of the memory business. You mentioned that the policy, corporate policy, has not been changed. Now, in terms of facts, the Chinese authority, you're waiting for their approval. And the 28th of the May, I believe, is likely to be the day to be given the decision. If you are unable to get the approval, I think you need to consider such scenario. So what would be the alternatives that you can think of? Also related to this, if the approval is not given about the transformation that you talked about, there will be some impact. So what kind of impact do you foresee based on such scenario? Another related question. So in relation to 28th of May, say that the approval is not given. As for the memory business, the CapEx is about 400 to 600 billion yen that is necessary for the memory business. So from the Toshiba headquarters, is it possible for you to give such investment, or maybe you'll be using some of the free cash flow? If it comes from the CapEx, so my question is, what are you going to do about the CapEx or investment for the memory business for this year? About the memory business, yes, it's been examined right now. And so far, we have not received any negative information. Therefore, our assumption is that these sales will be done. So this means that our stance has not changed at all. So we are not considering the potential failure to sell. So in terms of the transformation plan, fiscal 18 plan, of course, this is the first year to start that, and Mr. Hirata already explained this. And this is also, the forecast is made based on the assumption that the sales will be done. As for the memory business, it is true that the major CapEx will be necessary, but overall, within the memory business, I think we can manage our cash flow. So as for the investment from the parent company, that is not something that we are considering. Thank you very much. Another question? Hama from Nikkei. I have two questions to the chair, Mr. Kurumatani. So in this forecast, the sale of the memory, the profit from the memory sales is included. So from the different perspective, you mentioned that you have not yet received any negative information. So internally, you think that this sale will go on. Therefore, you consider included this in your forecast. Is that the case? But there are some uncertainties. I would like to know the background why you included the sale of the memory business into your forecast numbers. Also, in relation to the forecast, the operating income forecast is 70 billion, including the memory business. So there are some segments which have seen the decline and ROS of 1 to 4%. So when you dispose of the memory business, which business would be the leader in terms of profit making? It's difficult to see that. So in the existing businesses, which businesses will be the pillar for Toshiba after the sale of the memory business, if you know that as of now? Thank you. Concerning the memory business, financially, this is included as discontinued operations, and we showed the business results based on that. And as I mentioned, so far, it's been examined. And of course, we are not directly involved, but from the Chinese authority, we are not getting any negative information. So that means, based upon the current situation, the plan that we have shown, there are no reason to change that. So from our perspective, we formulated this plan and announced this plan. Now, at the time of the sales of the memory, there will be a major capital inflow, and that capital inflow can be utilized for our growth. That's one of the things. So by doing so, we can make investments to promote growth. And 70 billion yen, you might think it's too low, but Forex, of course, assumption is 100 yen to the dollar. So based on the last year's level, probably about 100 billion would be the actual operating profit that we can expect. So in terms of the corporate-wide transformation, we'd like to make sure that we can benefit from some of the businesses, and that is included in our this year's forecast. And by doing so, we would like to improve our profitability. From now on, some of the areas that we'd like to grow after May, with the discussion with the head of the business units, we try to find the areas. And of course, I have my own ideas, but the heads of the businesses have been very seriously considering their plans. So I listen to those plans, and we would like to make an investment where it is promising so that we can improve our profitability. So basically, the percentage of the cost or cost ratio needs to be improved, and by doing so, we can improve the profitability to some extent. And in addition to that, we would like to invest where the efficiency is the best, and we would like to allocate our resources accordingly.
Person till the end. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Hirakawa. I'm from Merrill Lynch Securities. I have two questions. One is about profitability. Energy infrastructure business in Toshiba had been suffering from very low profitability, and based on this, could you tell us a bit about how you're looking at this, Chairman? And then, as has been mentioned, if you see some of the things that would have the impact short term, and also there are some measures that would have a major impact midterm and long term, could you tell us a bit about the time perspective? My first question about the energy business. Decarbonization is a major flow which is irreversible, the global trend. Globally, there is a strong pressure, and many of the heavy electrical business companies are suffering a lot. Toshiba is not weak in this field, but still, there is no denying that the situation here is becoming more and more difficult. We could work on the reduction on the fixed cost, and there could be many more other things that we can do. And also, we can think of how we are able to get new orders. So in obtaining orders, we have to consider the risks associated with that. So we have to come up with a new system for that. And then this kind of initiative had not been in line with the market trend. So we have to acknowledge that we were slow in this regard. Toshiba might not be the only party who had delays, but still, we have to look at ourselves and the face squarely with this, and make sure that we change the business structure so that we will be able to have a solid profit. What was the second question? Could you tell us about the kind of impact which we felt short term and also midterm, long term? So could you tell us a bit about how you look at the time frame? You were talking about business areas. I was talking about measures. Well, we have we are now reviewing the direct measures and the indirect reviews, and we have just completed review processes, and we are quite sure that a certain level of cash will be generated from here. In the case of manufacturers, we have to look into designs and the other starting the activities. So it is not just a simple approach for the cost overrun. Sometimes we spend too much, so we have to have the expense level. We have to lower the expense levels. So that means that we are able to reduce the cost in a short time. But some of the activities would require more time. So if we try to do everything that we have at hand, then we have to spend the next 2 years, maybe more. And this way, we are able to come up with the final conclusion and have good outcome. About the businesses, we will listen to the voices of the persons in charge. So we should not decide from the beginning, but rather we try to change our thoughts based on what we learn. And then the second question is about Toshiba business transformation. In many companies in Japan, they would use the different terms, but the utilization of AI and IoT would be the common theme. So in Toshiba, you have to have the strong hardware, but if you sell the memory business, then it is very difficult to proceed with this. So could you tell us a bit about the strength of your Toshiba business transformation? These are my two. This is my second question. When I say digital transformation, there are many ways of tackling with this. For example, we can make investment for technologies such as AI. This is one way to do this. This is quite costly. And large enterprises from the United States are making trillions of dollars of worth of investment. So it is impossible to have head-on the competition with them. So many of the companies are coming up with very large platforms which should drive their customer models. Platform approach is fine, but what we try to work on with our customers should center on some other areas as well. For example, maintenance. For example, in Yokkaichi, the factory supervision and automation is something we do as well. So we are collaborating with our customers. And then AI or IoT would be introduced in these existing services and the solutions. So this way we are able to have the universalized approaches. So allow me to repeat myself. Our customers are already using our solutions, and so we are able to start establishing the model. It's all right to have to start small. Then after a while, we would be able to deploy this globally. So we could start with a very narrow field, and even if we are able to, we are only able to have a narrow field. If it is deployed globally, then it would make sense. So the first step would be to look at what we already have with our customers and then introduce AI and IoT. So currently, we are now in the process of selecting some fields to work on this way. The person from the second row from the very end, on the left-hand side. Moriyama from JP Morgan Securities. I have two questions, two major points for me. There might have been some disruption in your materials, but about a sale after the sale of the memory businesses, what would be the equity contributions? What would be the percentage of the ownership? And then I participated in several the meetings, and then there have been some discussion about the percentage that you will continue to have. So long term, are you going to hold about 40%, or would it be reduced to close to 0%?
So after the sale of memory business, could you tell us a bit about how you are planning to maintain the ownership about the memory business? As has been already explained, we are making reinvestments, so 40% would be the basis. I myself have been working on the memory business myself, and when I say 40%, to what extent this should be reduced or whether this should be remain. Well, this is a very important business judgment, so I would like to discuss this issue in compiling the Toshiba Next Plan. Well, we have to also consider the data center issue and the cycle surrounding memory businesses, 5G issues. So various market trends and issues should be viewed from above, from in the perspective, and we'd like to make a judgment which is suitable for Toshiba. One more question. In your presentation material, you say that you try to aim for globalization. You try to aim at the global standards, and we feel that that you are very serious. So in that situation, you have to look at global competitors, and you try to incorporate some of the best practice global management strategies. And then in your structural reform plan, are you planning to have discussions internally and also outside of the company? I think you have to decide the kind of business that you have to enhance the growth, and also you have to withdraw. So you will not have any sanctuaries. So if there is a need, you will withdraw from some of the businesses. Is this correct to understand it this way? Yes, you are correct to understand it this way. For example, personal computers and other low profitability businesses. So you are now in the process of making decision. Well, I'm not able to speak about each business at this moment, but the one thing we can say is that we try to look at the non-profitable businesses, but if other companies are having the very high level of profit, then in that situation, that's the decision call, so judgment call. Is the market already mature, saturated, or are we not doing the business as we should do? So this is something we have to ask constantly. And if we are not able to come up with a game plan, then we have to consider the withdrawal. Thank you very much.
The next question. My name is Naito from Asahi Shimbun. I'm here. I have two questions to CEO. So first question is related to the policy of memory business. You've mentioned there's no change, but how far or how long do we have to wait for the review of this antitrust deal? And I think with other deals, it is taking quite a long time. But for Toshiba's case, of course, it relates to the development of the transformation plan. So until when are you willing to wait? Actually, we'd like to pose that question to the Chinese authority. So what timing and what kind of review and comments are we going to receive? It is really up to that. So we do have a counterpart here. So we cannot actually draw the line as to how far we can wait. I think there could be a case that the authority may not pose any deadline. I don't think that would be the case. We should hear something from the authority. I think there should be some response from the other side. Also, another question. It was in the presentation. You mentioned about enhancing the core earning power. And you've mentioned the energy business as one of the drivers for the core earnings power. So could you give us more details on this point? What exactly within the energy? What are you going to enhance? Are you going to consolidate some of the bases? Are you going to shrink the nuclear business or not? So I think I briefly answered to the previous question. But again, to be free of carbon-free is definitely a direction we need to go. So obviously the current system would not work. So to what depths and in what direction? Again, we need to have a discussion with the general manager of the business units. So a decision will be made after consultation with the experts in the field. Next question. My name is Yamada from Toyo Keizai. I have three questions. First question is related to outflow of talent. Are you still seeing churning of the people? If that is the case, are you having this sense of crisis? Are you having enough people? So in terms of churning of the talent, it has actually reached some level since last year, but recently there's been some slowdown in terms of churning. So with this announcement of the results and the plan, we would also share this with our employees. So we are expecting that they would slow down with the churning of the people. So are you having a sense of crisis about the pace the people are leaving? So we are looking into recruitment for next year as well. So we would like to recruit more headcounts than this year. But I personally believe this is a manageable issue. A second question is quite brief. So Freeport explanation is not included in this pack here. Last year, you've mentioned loss of 100 billion worth of loss was booked. So what is the current situation and what is the expectation going forward? Now for Freeport, the crude oil price has been on the rise. Therefore, towards summer, the question is how is the new LNG price is going to trend? Actually, there's been uncertainty for the price trend. So 2020 onwards, we will see shipment of the product. And of course, we are receiving a number of inquiries relative to this. So all in all, how are we going to address this portfolio? It is related to the overall price trend of LNG. So various factors will be taken into account. So now the crude oil price has been on the rise. Will we be able to withdraw this or exit from this business at the right timing? Actually, that's a hypothesis. I cannot quite answer to that. So for LNG and crude oil prices, they may be similar, but actually they're quite different. So it is very difficult to give you a simple answer to that. So we would like to look into the value of our business. And we have to make sure that our enterprise value is maximized when we make the decision. My final question, I'd like to ask about the accounting issues in the past. And also, CBNI, a loss. The fact that the company was not able to see all the loss incurred from the CBNI issue. How do you see this issue? And how do you make sure that this would not occur again? So you will be making more aggressive initiatives, including M&A. So I think it is important that you understand the reason and the root cause behind these issues in the past. Now, for the fraudulent accounting issue, of course, we have caused much inconvenience and disappointment amongst the shareholders and the society. So for the accounting issue, it is related to the organization. So once the top management makes a decision, there needs to be a mechanism from the company and from others to counter the decision made by the top management. So I think what is foremost important is the transparency and also communication. These are very important. And of course, this is quite commonly known as corporate culture. So I myself, I am very much aware and concerned about this issue. So since I have been convened to be the CEO of this corporation, I'd like to involve as many people as possible, and I'd like to share my opinions to as many people as possible. And I am not trying to push my opinions upon them. I think I need to persuade everyone, and everyone needs to understand the direction. So, of course, this is more of a democratized system, but once we reach an agreement, we should be able to proceed in a speedy manner. So the term I use is the unified Toshiba. So this unified process is indispensable to prevent this from happening again. So these are the initiatives necessary to prevent the recurrence of this. Of course, we need to have the audit function, the check function. Well, quite often it's been said the first layer, the second line, and the third line of the check function. This is very important to prevent the recurrence. So also we're looking into enhancing the audit function as well, and that will be included in the plan as well. So most importantly, we have the outside directors operating the commission committees and various committees. We have no in-house directors in those committees. So this is the ultimate governance that we have achieved in the function. So that is the lesson we gained from the past mistake, from the past accounting issues, and that is reflected in the current organization of the outside directors. And that is why we've been able to lift ourselves from the designation as securities on alert. So I think we have the structure being established. So, of course, we need to make sure that the society and the market sees that been firmly established. Next question. Thank you very much. Okabayashi. So for this a new Toshiba, I'd like to ask about your risk-taking policies. So up to now, Toshiba has been investing nuclear and memory and so forth, where the shareholders' equity cost was more than 10% or so, or cost of equity was more than 10%, despite the weak balance sheet. So what is the cost image going forward? And I think the equity ratio is quite high right now. But in this new Toshiba, what is the level of equity ratio you're looking at? So my question is related to your risk-taking policy. Second question is related to that. How are you going to do the RBC? So I think the return on sales was up to 5%. And, of course, memory and semiconductor were generating that sort of return. But once this is sold, how is that going to trend going forward? Of course, some of the business may go to the memory business as well, but and also related to the digital information. So the RDC, about the corporate laboratory, how are we going to treat this going forward?
Well, first of all, about the equity ratio, nuclear and memory, those are the very capital-heavy businesses. And with them, of course, in the memory business, for example, profitability was very high. That has been the model. Say that the memory sales goes well, then, relatively speaking, the light capital model will be what we have. So it'll be light capital model. So probably nuclear and semiconductors, if we had those businesses, equity ratio, for example, would need to be 40 or 50. But based upon the current business portfolio, we don't need that much equity ratio. Having said that, from now on, we would need to have various discussions and to consider our resources, how to allocate them. And when we do so, say that there is a new business opportunity, what would be the risk profile of that business? We need to scrutinize that, how much equity is necessary needs to be studied. So we cannot simply say that this is the best percentage. But as I mentioned, the heavy capital model was used in the past, but in comparison to that, it'll be lighter capital model. As for the RDC, we believe that this is a very important function. So we will study this further, but we would like to maintain it. So in addition to the equity ratio, if you look at the overall business, for example, you get the ideas from the head of the each business unit and say that as an overall portfolio, what would be the best equity ratio? Until now, it was 10%, and the shareholders' cost was more than 10%. I think that was a major problem. And now you have a certain buffer. You might consider taking more risk, say 7%, 8% equity cost or capital cost. Is that something that you would do? Or do you think that equity percentage of 20% and 5% cost of the capital, I think that would be the average for the Japanese company. So what would be the core policy for you? That's my first question. And the second question concerning the RDC, memory, is everything go to the memory and the process migration, for example, will be done at the corporate lab? So that kind of way of thinking, rather than the business unit, I think that needs to be considered at the corporate level. So CDO probably or CTO would need to consider those. So I'd like to hear more on this. Or what would be the best R&D percentage? Is it 5% or higher? Well, let me answer your questions. First of all, what you are saying is that the ROI, what would be the reasonable or ideal level of the ROI? I think that's what you're asking. So in the next plan, that needs to be discussed further. But generally speaking, I talk with investors, and double-digit ROI, we believe it's necessary for the investors to invest. So that kind of level is what we are trying to target. Also, about the research and development budget, well, has been memory heavy. We are spending a lot for the memory, but the social infrastructure is something that we want to be become more competitive, IoT, AI, and so forth. So in that sense, vis-a-vis the social infrastructure, research budget, again, that it was very high for the memory, and we would like to more aggressively shift that to social infrastructure. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, next question. Over there. Mizuno from Yomiuri Newspaper. Thank you very much. I have an expectation from your transformation. I have a question to Mr. Kurumatani. In the coming transformation, I'm sure that it has already started. So what you can do first, what are the things that you can do first? Is there any examples that you can give us? And for fiscal year 19, do you think you would already see some effects? If not, when do you start to see the results of those efforts? Well, three dimension is what I have: the basic earning power and the business portfolio change and the recurring type of business, that is to say that improve the margin to the global level. So for this fiscal year, 70 billion, what we call quick in internally. So as this year's measure, the cash generation, again, 70 billion does not include that. especially the indirect section and expenses and various measures from this year, there are things that can be reflected. So first, we would like to work on the quick ins. So for them, from this fiscal year, we are hoping to show you some actual numbers. But other than that, other measures, in the first half, we will be starting almost all the measures. So there will be a long-term ones or short-term ones, and part of it will be reflected this year, and also in next year and next year. We are hoping to see the impacts from those programs. So basic earning power, to enhance it, I think you mentioned that in the presentation. Any specific example that you can give us? Well, as I mentioned sometimes, the fastest one is the indirect expenses or general spending or administrative spending, I think is easy to see. And also procurement of goods and materials, I think we will be able to see some good results. Or some of them will take more longer time. So indirect area, indirect material, and the administrative area would be the first one that we can expect good results from. Another question. Kanematsu from Nikkei. Thank you. You talked about the memory market and parts, 5G, data center, and so forth. Now, most recently, the cycle of the smartphone is becoming slower, and the memory demand and price is also becoming lower. So as for the future, what are your views? What will be the demand forecast for the parts, the memory market, and so forth? As for the memory market, usually in the first quarter, I think the price comes down, and that would be the cycle that we usually have. But more recently, the conventional cycle is becoming weaker. That is to say that it is becoming flatter, not much fluctuations. So smartphones and the consumer products, I think, have been generating such cycle. In addition, the data center demand is now being incorporated. So that is eliminating the conventional cycles or fluctuations. But as for the demand for the data centers, is it a bubble or is it something very firm and solid? It's actually very difficult to evaluate. So I myself have not been able to really identify that. But in the medium to long term, 5G will become available. And as everybody says, in terms of the volume of data, it's going to increase. That is a trend. So in the medium to long term, this market is not going to be so weak.
One more thing. You continue or maintain the intention to sell the industrial memory, but still on the equity method, you will maintain its status as the equity investor. Samsung is making a large investment, and they will make further investment. And at this point, equity ratio is 70% or plus or minus. The situation here is not that easy. So could you tell us a bit about the future competitive advantages of Toshiba Memory and relative to the competitors in the field? After the sale, perhaps Toshiba Memory will have its own way of working on their strategies. But about the stacking of the layers, they have very high level of expertise in terms of the technology. In that respect, we are able to say that Toshiba Memory has a very high level of competitive edge. And then internally, we are discussing this issue. A large amount of the investment is going to be made. So I think it is possible to say that they will maintain its competitive advantages in the years to come. Well, time is running short, so we'd like to take just one more question. Person over there, sitting on the second row. My name is Yasui. I'm from UBS Securities. I have two questions. One is about net cash. Perhaps you have large net cash. So could you tell us a bit about how you will use it? Maybe you do return it to your shareholders. Last year, till the end of the year, you made the equity increase. So could you tell us a bit about how you're going to use it? And then about a 40% equity ratio of memory business. Then you have 2 trillion yen business. And then when you are to sell this amount, this part, then you will have 800 billion yen worth of income. So that would be beyond 1 trillion yen. So in that situation, how would you dispose of them? Well, about the memory business, if we are able to sell memory business as planned, then we will have net cash of over 1 trillion yen, as you have just mentioned. And as we explained earlier in our presentations, we will work on the formulation of gross investment in the Toshiba Next Plan. Some of the money would be used for that, the investment for growth. And we are suffering from very low the credit ratings. So at an early stage, we would like to regain the investment grade ratings. That would be dependent on the discussions with the rating companies, rating agencies, the capital level that is required to have the investment level, their rating would be determined by them. So in order to have good battle and the good chance of having the competition in the market, it is important to do certain things. And based on that, we will decide the amount of dividend for the shareholders. As was mentioned, we'd like to make proper judgment here. So in that respect, the capital expenditures and the Toshiba Next Plan will be determined. So this way, and only after this, you will decide the dividend payment for shareholders. So this will be your priority. Well, the 600 billion yen capital has been raised. So we made a firm promise that the appropriate the return of the profit to the shareholders will be made. So based on our plans, we will do this. And then if we are to sell 40% of shares of memory business, that would be conducive to 800 billion yen. But again, we have not made any decisions here, so we do not have anything to discuss at this moment. The second question is about your nuclear power business. There had been a report to you, Mr. Kuramatani, by some of the media, and then you are integrating the fuel business, and then in the future you will integrate the nuclear reactor business. So that means that overseas businesses are not gaining momentum, and you here we have the restart issues in Japan. So there could be some reshuffling of the businesses here. So could you tell us a bit about how you're looking at the nuclear business? On the first Saturday of April, I visited the Fukushima, the Daiichi, the reactor, Unit 3 of Fukushima with Mr. Tsunakawa, and the situation related to the decommissioning is very difficult and tough, and we do believe that it is a very important task, and we are committed to enhancing this business. So we renewed our commitment after visiting the Fukushima site. So we have to fulfill our responsibilities. In what way are we able to do this? Is the current way the best way, or should we consider something else? If need be, we need to go back and consider this. But at this moment, we do not have anything concrete to revisit what we are doing right now. Thank you very much. Well, thank you so much. With this, we'd like to close this meeting. Thank you very much for your participation. It is time to start the Q&A session for analysts and institutional investors for 2017
business results. First, allow me to introduce the speakers. Masayoshi Hirata, Representative Executive Officer, Corporate Executive Vice President and CFO. Takashima and the Kohei Hayashi from the IR. So I would like to take questions from the floor. If you have any questions, please identify yourselves. Please raise your hand and identify yourselves, your affiliation and your name. Person in the first row, the third seat from the far end, Moriyama from JP Morgan Securities. I have two questions, simple questions. They're about the capital investment for the memory. The page 31, there is a blank portion here. So could you tell us a bit about how you are looking at it? So to the extent that is possible, could you share with us the figures? If it is possible, give us the exact figure. Well, thank you for your question. The prerequisite is that we'll sell this business. So very sorry to answer to your question this way, but we are not able to answer your question directly. Then going back to page 28, about the equity method, the loss and gains. And so here the figure is the 2.8 billion. So the figure seems to be rather low. The figure is 50 billion. So this is based on the assumption that the memory business would decrease. That would be the misleading. So could you tell us a bit about the breakdown of this 50 billion yen? Well, I'm not able to answer this question directly to these questions as well. The one thing I can say is that the exchange rate is calculated at 100 yen to a dollar. So maybe the impact is from this exchange rate that is set at 100 yen. Then if that is the case, this is 9 months worth. So on top of that, you have the senior dividend. So this is not included here. They preferred the shares. Well, with the Bain Capital, we have not decided upon this. They have not been. We are not sure whether they have decided this, but based on our assumption, we see this as this is after the figures. This is after the preference shares elimination. So, about the memory business, the sales and also operating profit. Do you have any figures for that? We do not have these figures. Again, the assumption here is that we sell this business. So that's the reason why we are not able to disclose these figures. And then person in the second row on the window side. Yasui from UBS Securities. This is again about memory business. The bit extension and also the transition of the unit prices for the fourth quarter. Could you tell us the figures? And if it is possible, give us the figures for the entire year. You were talking about fiscal year 2017 for the first quarter. The bit extension or growth from third to the fourth quarter, a slight increase. Please understand it this way for the entire year. Compared with 2016, in 2017, there has been a growth of 20%. To recap on this, to clarify this, maybe based on the exchange rate, there could be a difference. So could you tell us the unit price for fourth quarter? The unit price is unchanged from the third quarter. So it is the generally flat or slightly increased from the third quarter. Thank you very much. Then moving on to free cash flow for the philosophies that you have for fiscal free cash flow, 1.29 trillion yen. And then if you have the 1.45 trillion yen of income for the sale of memory business, then that means that the rest of them would be negative. That's how it looks. And then with the sale of 2 trillion yen, the cash-in figure would be 2 trillion yen. So that means that this way we are not sure how this will be the bond in the non-qualified split. So in 2018, they have been, if there are many major variations, could you tell us some of the factors for that?
First of all, about the free cash flows. So for FY 2018 and the others, we have investment for social infrastructure. And also because we do foresee 100 yen to the dollar for the forex. So we are expecting a negative trend, slight negative trend for FY 2018. So we are looking for improvement. The second question, sorry, what was the second part of your question again? So you mentioned if you were to sell the memory business was 2 trillion yen, and what is the cash in amount expectation? And also, last year, we have 24 billion yen of tax expenses from the non-qualified split of memory business. So I think that will be realized this year in terms of the tax accounting. So you are seeing a tax reduction at the same time. So what is the cash out amount they're expecting in terms of the tax expenses? So if he were to sell the memory business was 2 trillion yen, and in terms of the contract, memory business, if they have more than 200 billion yen of cash, then that would be handed over in conjunction with the memory business. That is the contract. So, of course, it really depends on what is the level of cash equivalent and deposit at the time of handover of the business. So, all in all, 1.8 trillion will be the remainder, and we have 350 billion yen worth of investment. So, after we receive 2 trillion yen, we will be making additional investment. So, all in all, we are expecting 450 billion yen in terms of the net amount. Now, in terms of the tax question, I think we talked about that for the discontinued operations. So most of it, the tax, if we were to calculate it, is 250 billion yen for the tax expenses for the valuation of non-qualified split. But actually, that would be offsetted by WEC. So all in all, there would be no tax expense. So I think this might be an overlap, but this is my third question. And you've mentioned 245 billion yen for the tax related to valuation of non-qualified split of memory business. And I think you can leverage on the deferred tax asset scheme. So from the memory business, I think they will be carried over. The tax expenses will be carried over to FY 2018. And you are looking at 80 billion yen of profit for memory business. Are you expecting tax expenses for the Q1, or are you expecting almost zero tax expenses for the Q1 of 2018? Also, for the memory business, are there any possible gains from the tax effect accounting for the memory business? Now, for the memory business on a standalone basis, we have no tax effect counting taken into account. Now, for the first quarter, the profit generated from memory business, the tax expenses is booked for once, and that is incorporated into the first quarter. So that's for the discontinued operation. So this is after tax. It is incorporated in the discontinued business number. Did that answer your question? So next question. My name is Ezawa from Citigroup Securities. I have two questions. First question, it might be a repeat from the previous one. So in terms of the tax effective, tax related to valuation of non-qualified split, so TMC, 250 billion will be the max, and I think the tax will be deducted for a maximum of 5 years. But in the first quarter, you have tax expenses, and on a calculation basis, they amounted to 80 billion yen. So I think that is right. That sounds right. But is it proper to assume that you would continue to pay the tax expense? Now, in terms of the non-qualified split, so we are exempted from the tax expenses as a consolidated company. So because of the memory business and also for WEC business, so those would net each other. Therefore, there would be no need for tax expenses for Toshiba. So is that true for the first quarter of 2018 as well? For the first quarter, of course, it really depends on the timing for the sale of the memory business. But our assumption is we should be able to sell it at the end of first quarter. So then we would no longer be under that category of being exempted from the tax expenses. Therefore, we should start to see the payment of tax. So maybe TMC, they are actually getting benefit from the tax accounting. So wouldn't the tax expenses for TMC would come down? Would that happen? Actually, the head of accounting division would tell you. So for the non-qualified split of memory business, this would be depreciated in 5 years. So that would amount to about 250 billion yen. That would be the amount that would be depreciated. So in terms of tax amount, it would be just short of 80 billion yen of less tax expenses. So that would be reflected. Yes, that is reflected in the number here. Another question relates to shareholders' return. So I probably needed to raise that vis-a-vis CEO or COO. But I think the shareholders' policy is dependent on the Toshiba Next plan. So if you could share with us your current view on the shareholders' return, just the general concept, if you can share that with us. So you have 600 billion of equity finance. So some of the shareholders feel that the fact that you have dissolved the state of insolvency as of March 2018, therefore the objective has been achieved, and now so some feel that that 600 billion yen needed to be returned to the shareholders at the earliest ways possible. Some feel that way. So for shareholders' return policy, what is your current view? Are you looking to a large amount, close to 600 billion yen? Because now you have achieved the target of ending the state of insolvency. Is that your view? Or do you feel that the funds procured by Toshiba, it's up to Toshiba to use? So we'd also allocate some to the shareholders and also some resources to future growth. Is that your general view on the use of the management resource? Also, another question. Let's just say TMC did not sell. So there's concern as to how would be the tax accounting be. So I don't think it will go back to the non-qualified split of memory business. And this is all based on hypothesis, but what would happen? Also related to that, how would the shareholders' policy be if the memory business were not sold? The shareholders you have alluded to, we are also aware that there are some shareholders out there feeling this that way. So just because we were able to procure the funds from shareholders, we have a free hand in spending those. We do not feel that way. Because both the company and the shareholders feel that it's important to enhance the enterprise value. Although it is true that many shareholders have different views. So the question is, how are we going to enhance the corporate enterprise value of Toshiba? That is exactly why Mr. Kurumanatani, our CEO, mentioned that there are many factors deciding on the enhancement of the enterprise value. So we would have to take a multifaceted view and continue to conduct dialogue with the shareholders. Also, your question about the hypothesis, if we were not able to sell the memory business, it is hard to answer that question. It is indeed based on hypothesis. Our view is we will continue to look into selling the business and waiting for the response from China. Now, from the point of view of the figures, once we have the gains from the sale, the distributable amount for dividend would become positive for the first time. So from that point of view, if something emergent were to happen, we may not be able to provide dividend because the distributed amount would not be positive. What about share buybacks? Can you commit that you would do share buybacks or not at this moment? Now, for the capital policy, our CEO and our CEO, we do need to, we are engaged in dialogue with our management. Therefore, we cannot give you the exact answer as of this moment.
Yes, the next question. Matsuhashi from Goldman Sachs. I have three questions. First is the point of clarification. The share of the Westinghouse, the transfer of them, this has not been realized. So in terms of tax accounting, that became a loss at the end of the third quarter. Is that the case? Or there would be some possibility of lowering the tax burden. At the time of the transfer, I think that usually the loss would be recognized. Is it not the case, or is it correct? Yes. Well, at the end of March, at the U.S. court, Chapter 11 was approved, and what we hold, our equities, are worthless. That was the judgment. So in that sense, as you mentioned, it's done in U.S., but in U.K., it's not yet done. But official court judged that they are worthless. So from our perspective, this is treated as a loss, a tax loss. So the whole amount, yes. I see. Thank you. The second question. Energy systems and solutions, this year's business. Well, the major decline of sales is expected. So why is the loss level is not worsening? It's difficult to understand. So could you explain this? Now the revenue is down. Is it just a temporary, or is this something that we go back to the fiscal 17 in the next fiscal year? Do you think this will continue? Yes, fiscal 18 forecast is what you are referring to. Yes, and also onwards in comparison to fiscal 17. Right now, 8 billion yen operating income, or 1.3%, is expected. So it's not. It doesn't mean that the revenues are not declining, but rather the low profitability will continue. That is how we'd like you to understand this. Fiscal 17, New Gem impairment loss was included. So excluding that, rather than minus 14.8, it would be more on the positive side. So from that, lower sales and lower profit, that is our forecast. But the thermal and the transmission and distribution, if you look at those, there are different trend that we see. So as a whole, the distribution of the cost, and there is a matter of the memory. So it's difficult to explain those changes or fluctuations. So if possible, we'd like you to give us some additional comments. Well, yes, as you pointed out, without the memory business, each energy or social infrastructure, the burden of the headquarters is increasing. That is the correct understanding. And fiscal 17, the second half, after we made a decision to sell memory, the corporate function went through the restructuring, and we will continue to do so in fiscal 18. So that has given the negative impact. But the profitability, especially the thermal and hydro and the transmission distribution, is not so high because the lost contracts have not recovered. So up to 17, we did have a sufficient provision. But even with the sufficient provision, the gross profit is zero. So because of the SG&A and the cost of sales, we had negative numbers, and that will continue for fiscal 18. So profitability is very low or poor. I see. In terms of the level of the sales after fiscal 19 and onwards, it will be same or similar to fiscal 18. Well, if you look at the orders, we showed you the order backlog graph. As of now, decarbonization, because of that impact, we are not seeing the major increase. I see. A third question. For this fiscal year, the restructuring cost, was it 13 billion? Or more than 10 billion, less than 15, for fiscal 18. Yes, that's correct. So based on this number, drastic cost structure change is not something that we expect, I see. So when you consider a new business plan, do you think that this would increase? Also, as Kurumatani-san said, I think what he said was quite correct. Indirect expenses cost reduction, I believe that has been done already. But from outside a person, it was not the case. Is that what he meant? So easy hanging fruits. Are there so many of them? I'd like to have your view as a CFO. Well, first of all, fiscal 18, special one-off factors, 13 billion is included. Restructuring or structural reform rather than structural reform, there are three major ones. First, as it was mentioned, IoT, AI, related digital solutions. Industrial ICT solutions is what I'm talking about. And in order to take advantage of our strength, industrial ICT solutions and energy system solutions and social infrastructure and Toshiba Tech is also included. So we'd like to really promote them at the corporate-wide level. So in order to promote this, we need some budget or expenses which are included. Also, because of the fraudulent accounting, the brand value has been reduced or damaged. So rebranding is something that we are studying right now, and we would need to spend quite a bit of money for that. So that cost is also included. So some of the positive investments like that are included in the one-time or temporary expenses. It might be difficult for you to see in the material, but not a big number, but about tens of billions of yen. Well, in the case of a subsidiary in Brazil, we could handle by the end of March. But there are other affiliated companies that we need to consider. So there are hundreds of billions of structural reform-related cost, like the subsidiary of Brazil. So that is not reflected in the operating income, but under the non-operating income and loss that is included. Toshiba Next Plan, in order to formulate that, as Kurumatani-san mentioned in his comment, from the different angles, if we find some businesses which are not likely to be profitable, then we would need to use some additional structural reform expenses, although we do not see such examples. But as soon as possible, Kurumatani will be talking with the business head, and as soon as we make a decision, we will let you know.
Some other issues include expenses. This is a symbolic term. So we try to be varied in our approaches. Whenever it is needed, we spend. But whenever it is required to cut off, then we reduce the amount of expenditures. So this is the symbolic figure or a symbolic term that we are using. And as a matter of fact, we have to work on the reforms for procurement. That will be the major task that we engage ourselves in. And then sometimes we have to change from the designing stages, and that would require longer time frame. That will be around 2 years. And then in the case of turnkey kind of approaches, we can have the immediate outcome. And we are now discussing this issue with the input of external parties. So there are some opportunities in this kind. Then a person sitting right next to him. Ohashi from Daiwa Securities. I have two questions. One, my first question is very simple. Allow me to repeat what was mentioned. Could you tell us about your confidence level of the sale of the memory business by the end of by 28th of March or the May? Are you confident that you will have good news from China? So what is your confidence level? Well, about the Competition Act, the antitrust law related issues, we do not believe that the authorization would not be stopped because of that. There could be some other issues. There could be some multi-layered issues that would tamper with the approvals. But the first information would be given to Bain Capital. And between Toshiba and Bain, we have good flow of information. And at this point, we have not received any information whatsoever, be it negative or positive. When you say 28th of May, so are there any changes or misunderstanding about the understanding of the date? So about the 28th of May is considered to be a deadline. What do you think? Many people say that the deadline is 28th of May. So maybe this might be related to the system within China. So maybe assuming this system would be applied, then the deadline could be 28th of May. However, we have not received any information whatsoever with the date of 28th of March, May rather. So I think this is based on people's understanding of the Chinese systems. Then the second question is about the ratings. So you have the 45% of the capital, and then after you sell this business, and then single A is a must. So in the case of Toshiba, you have to work on the profitability or earnings capacity, and then without that, you are not able to get the investable grade. Or if you are able to sell the memory business, and then you have the the better balance sheet, then you are able to go back to the investable grade, investment grade? Well, this is, again, a very difficult question. Everything would be determined by the rating agencies, so I'm not able to discuss any of this. So I'm not sure whether I am even able to speak about the ratings and the judgment related to this, but they have to look at the financial standing and the future perspective of the finance. So these are the two pillars. So about the financial standing, this is certainly one-sided, but if we are able to sell memory businesses, the level of financial strength would not pose any weakness. So the profitability in the future would, again, the second pillar. So we are now trying to make sure we have better profitability, which will be driven by Toshiba Next Plan, which will be viewed by the rating agency. Thank you. So we'd like to close this session with two questions from two people. I have three questions. One is about the confirmation of figures, about the sensitivity of the exchange rate, and also even if you have the positive figures for PC, then the final figure would be the 20 billion yen negative. So what are some other items behind it? And then the 70 billion yen the profit. The last year there was the structural reform cost. So could you tell us a bit more about the buffers that would serve, the kind of the items that would serve as a buffer? About the foreign exchange rate, the sensitivity, please refer to the supplementary material here. In the lower, the bottom, you have the sales and operating profit in dollar and euro. I'm sure you all have it, so you might want to take a look at it. I'm sorry. Yes, I found it. Thank you. Then the second is the other segment. In 2018, yes, the PC would be profitable, and then you have 20 billion yen the deficit. Well, I talked about the one-off cost that I talked about earlier, about 13 billion yen, as can be seen in the bar chart. So this one-off cost is included in this other area. Also, one thing that is accelerating within the company is that with the loss of memory businesses, as was mentioned earlier, with the memory business will be eliminated, but still the headquarters would still be very heavy. So that's how we are working on. So we'd like to work on the acceleration of the reduction of this figure. So you do not have any buffers here? No, we don't have it. My second question, again, about memory business, the 4Q, there have been the plan for the bit, the growth, but again, the result was that was almost flat, but there was no bit growth. Could you tell us the reason why? Thank you. Well, just slightly, we have been working on the multi-layered approach. So this is not an extreme the approach, but the yield is not the rising. So the yield rise have been centered on the second half of the approach. So please simply bear the think of this as this. So the 70% of the figures that are estimated, so the 3D level was 70%. For the introduction of 3D percentage, well, the final figure was 50. Well, let me check. At the end of 4Q, it's about 60%. So the 3D percentage was about 60%. So maybe 3D percentage has risen to the end of the period. My last question for the first quarter memory guide or NAND guide, So a bit growth or ASP, could you tell us a bit more about the bit growth for the memory issue for the first quarter? It's still within our group, so that means that the about 20% bit growth is expected from fourth quarter to the first quarter of next year. Then the selling price, I'm not able to share with you this information. I think your question is how you are looking at the reduction of the selling price. I'm sorry, I'm not able to answer this question because this is very much related to our discussions and negotiations with our customers. Thank you. Then the last question, the person in the first row. Thank you. Maritomi from Shireste Securities. My first question is about memory. If you calculate backward in the fourth quarter, ROS was 46-47% plus or minus. Then against this backdrop, the bit growth was almost flat and ASP was slightly rising. So the improvement of ROS is quite massive. So could you tell us a bit about the reason behind it? Are there any extraordinary factors behind that? Thank you. Well, you have a point. Well, maybe you have difficulty understanding the rationale behind it.
One factor is related to the fact that we are moving away from low-price NAND flash memory to more of a data-centered compliant flash memory, so SSAD, that is. So we are migrating that to that data-center model in a fairly rapid manner. Therefore, our selling price is definitely going up. Also, this is more of a technical issue, is accounting. The fact that it is part of the discontinued operations. Because of that, for Q4, and I think this is true for Q1 as well, if it continues to be a discontinued operation. So while it is deemed as discontinued operation, there is a rule that no depreciation would be conducted. And I think that is definitely contributing to the improvement and the profit. If that is the case, then the current profitability and also the absolute amount of profit for memory business may be inflated then slightly. Yes, because it is not depreciated. If you were to normalize it, what would be the level of profit? Or what would be the impact that you would see if you were to normalize it? So in the supplementary material, page 5 shows the depreciation amount. So I cannot give you clearly the information here. So prior to FY 2017, and also we have 6 months of FY 2017 gone as well. So on a quarterly basis, 16 billion is the amount that we are seeing an increase of operating income because we are not conducting depreciation. That's for the fourth quarter only then. Yes, that's right. Second question relates to Freeport. So this time, I think that the transaction of inventory has been changed on an accounting basis. Could you give us the background for that? Why at this timing the inventory is treated differently? So for Toshiba, the Freeport transaction is conducted by the makers. So we have had issues how to treat this number. So for the liquefaction construction, we have seen some loss-making contracts as well. So initially we thought we should be treated as such. And with the auditors, we have been conducting dialogue since last year. But we haven't come to a full conclusion. Now, for FY 2018, we are already looking into 2019 or beginning of 2020. That's when the real transaction begins. The real sales of LNG would start. Therefore, we would need to incorporate that within our budget. So we need to finalize on the conclusion as to how we are going to treat this. So the conclusion was, so this is not a construction based on consignment. So it should not be treated as a loss-making contract. So when we are to purchase raw gas, we will realize the inventory. And as a way to recognize the inventory, we would compare that with the selling price and also the mark-to-market price. And if you were to include the processing fee, if it's more expensive, than cost, then we would have to realize loss. So that was the conclusion that we have reached. So, of course, the actual transaction hasn't occurred, but this is the concept that we have finalized on. And as a follow-up question, again, relative to Freeport, I think a while ago, my memory might serve wrong, but I think the crude oil price, you're looking at $70 to $80 or so. Once it reaches that level, it would reach break-even or perhaps profitable. I think that was a story I've heard from the past. But I think we are indeed at that level. So at the bottom of this slide, it says they have not been able to finalize the contract to procure the raw materials. So is your assumption on $70 to $80 per barrel, has that changed? So in terms of the level of crude oil, the crude oil and LNG price do not necessarily link all the time. But in terms of the general image, $70 to $80 is the level we're looking at for break-even. However, the timing we purchase raw gas that needs to be procured immediately before the processing starts, the liquefaction starts. Therefore, it links. There is definitely a link with a raw gas price. So, since the from starting in the end of 2019, it could be that the liquefaction plant's launch may become delayed. So, the question is, what will be the raw gas price at that timing? So, of course, this is all on a hypothesis basis. If the current $70 to $80 level continues, then we may be able to reach break-even. But, of course, it's hard to say right now. The current state, then, you must have some contracts with the end users. And I think the pricing is probably finalized as well. And also, you have the spot price of full gas, the natural gas as well. So is it profitable right now, given all those information? So we have received many inquiries. And there are many clients with whom we have a provisional contract. But to commit with an official pricing is very limited. Therefore, this would not pose a material impact on our results. With that, we would like to conclude the Q&A session. Thank you all for your participation.